and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammerlock.
Everybody's doing it. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Wrestling Art with Chris Things. This little old podcast run by myself, Chris Things Brian, your host, your pal, wrestling art dude, and a dude who has a lot of stuff going on at the moment. Oh, man, it's a busy time of the year, but not too busy to make sure we have time for a little bit of podcasting. This was almost a week where I was just like, dude, I have so many events and stuff on that I might just have to skip this one. But no, I made time for it because I don't know why, but I feel like I need to. We're 95 episodes deep in this podcast. Gotta really, take it seriously here. This week we're back with a match of the week edition of the podcast. That being the one where we talk about some of my favorite matches. I have this ongoing gimmick where I pick my favorite match that I happen to watch that week. I make an illustration of it, so it forces me to make new art every week. It's always a highlight of my week when I get to do that. And then I post it to my Instagram every Friday here in Australia, Thursday in America and other parts of the world, I believe. Then I chuck it on my website, and we come on here on the podcast, and I talk all about that match with some of my favorite people, my friends from all across the world. And today we're talking match of the week number 106 with a dear longtime pal of mine, Signor Fazio Faz, my buddy that I used to watch. We had our AEW Dynamite watch nights there with our other buddy John. We kept that gimmick going for, I want to say, like a year and a half during those like early days of AEW. Every Monday we used to come over and watch the Dynamite all together, kind of like a Nitro party from back in the day. But that definitely, I think, made it more enjoyable for me to watch, like that sort of like group atmosphere. So it was always really got a kick out of that. Faz is a dude who used to really be into the wrestling back in the day, in sort of the Attitude era, and then kind of like fell out of it. And we became friends because we used to work at the Apple store together. He sort of got back into wrestling through the AEW kind of stuff, and then since really like broadened his horizons a bit. I've been really stoked to see it. So he's been a regular at a lot of our wrestling club events as well. He actually accompanied me this past weekend to all the way to Melbourne. So caught a flight all the way from Brisbane to Melbourne to help me out at the Oddities and Curiosities Expo. So great dude. Looking forward to having Faz on the show soon. We'll talk all about the things. In the meantime, I've got my What's Happening in the World of Chris Things intro monologue segment. And as I said, dude, I've been busy. I've been traveling all across this country. He had the big Melbourne weekend, as I just mentioned, that I'll talk to Faz a little bit when he comes on all about. Then I turned it around, and this weekend I've got the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in Brisbane. So I'm just kind of like getting in that mode of getting things organized, working out logistics, packing up the things. Just been doing like reprints of art prints, getting more t-shirts ordered, more calendars, all that fun stuff. So it's in the thick of it. And then the following week, I'm going to be in Sydney. So really living this, like, traveling, carny lifestyle. But I dig it. I really enjoyed my time in Melbourne. Is anyone listening here, tuning in, that I happen to meet in Melbourne at the Oddities Expo? Thank you so much for somehow stumbling upon this podcast. Appreciate it. Hi. And yeah, dude, it was such a good time. Everyone was so nice. I just had some of the best conversations, such a cool energy throughout the weekend. There was some times when I was just like giddy with all the things, at the energy and the enthusiasm. Other times when I was completely ran out of energy, but then like the pure adrenaline just keeps you on going. But it's a fun time. I'm like glad that I don't do it every week of the year, because I think I would be very burnt out if I was running that kind of schedule 52 weeks a year. But as a, you know, big couple weekends to finish off the year, I dig it. When I was in Melbourne, I also got the opportunity, as mentioned last time, to go to a screening of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I've already seen that movie twice when it was originally on its theatrical release. I got to catch it on 35mm, I believe, at two of my favorite cinemas, and then they were showing it again. It's been a couple of years, so I thought, man, why not? Let's do it. Sadly, they had some film issues on the night, some technical issues that actually stopped it from being a 35mm screening at the Astor Theatre, but things happen, you know. But we ended up getting to still watch it regardless. And man, it's such a great movie. Would recommend to everyone. One of those real, like, Tarantino movies that I feel like didn't fully get the respect it deserved initially. But the more you watch it, I feel like it really is such an excellent film and one of his best in many ways. But yeah, it was really nice just to see Melbourne. Shout out as well. I got to go to a friend of mine, James Bourbon. He had a art show up in Melbourne when I just happened to be down there, which I was so excited that I was going to be able to get to see, you know, whilst I happened to be down in Melbourne. It was a show that was called Possession and Exorcism, and sort of like a collection of rescued old media, I guess, so like all sorts of pulpy, you know, B-grade kind of like posters or like record covers or movie posters or advertising or all sorts of different kind of stuff that he's then sort of like repurposed in an interesting way, in sort of like a black and white retro print kind of manner. But he actually hand paints all of these, which is so cool. So that was amazing to see at the Soul Gallery there in, I don't know, Fitzroy, Collingwood, somewhere around there in Melbourne. But that was such a cool thing to get to see James's work. And I think that's a really cool thing as an artist to get to have a bit of an art community where, you know, you have other you know, artist friends that you got, and to support their things as much as you can. So I was stoked to see that. Amazing job, James. Like, blew my mind. But yeah, it was a really good weekend. Other than that, like I said, I've just been kind of catching up, and it's a tricky one, but you know, you make it work. I'm gonna have our next wrestling club coming up in the near future. I've just been planning that out as well. So December 15th, I look forward to seeing everyone for our final wrestling club of the year at the Scratch Bar. Still so stoked they let me do this. Come along to their bar, play a bunch of weird eclectic wrestling up on the big screen. I enjoy it. I love the heck out of it, honestly, and I really love getting to see the same sort of like wrestling club members or new members as well. The last one we did, There was a bunch of new faces, so I was stoked about that. But if anyone would like to come along, it's a free night. I have my art stuff on hand on the table, and I also make a podcast out of it. So that's a thing I've been doing lately, where we have a special commemorative podcast episode dedicated to the night that was of these wrestling clubs. But yeah, man, I'm just keeping my head above water in some ways when it comes to like the different events, and I've been so stoked with the amount of commission stuff that I got going on at the moment as well. Thank you so much, everybody. Also, thank you for your patience. You know, sometimes it can be a little bit tricky for me to, you know, get back to those messages right away, especially when I have these traveling weekends. But rest assured, I will, you know, get onto the things. And I haven't missed a deadline yet when it comes to a commission job. So I take a lot of pride in that. Anyway, I think we're at the point of this episode where we should get into our match of the week portion. I note we've had some extra beefy length episodes of late of this podcast. My apologies there. I think we'll try to keep this one a little bit more on the bite size for you to you know, trim it down a little bit, but I hope you guys know I appreciate each and every one of you. ChrisThings.com.au is the place to go to purchase prints, calendars, these Match of the Week illustrations. Check them out. T-shirts, what have yous. Instagram.com/ChrisThings is the other place. But let's get ready to be joined by Faz for some Match of the Week. Okay, ladies and gents, we're back for another Match of the Week edition of the podcast, and this week I am being joined by a dear friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, a guy who I've watched a whole bunch of wrestling with back in the day, previous guest on the show in our lightning rounds format. This time I officially believe our first full-length guest, but welcome to the show, my pal Faz.
Hey, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Dude, my pleasure. I was stoked to have you on this particular episode because, A, we just got finished doing the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in Melbourne that you came down and joined me for, and
that's
was
right.
A delightful time. I had the best time, so I thought we could chop it up about that, and then we can talk some Match of the Week goodness, which I believe we watched together at a wrestling club, but I'm not sure. Upon rewatch, do you know whether this is the case or not?
I believe, yes.
It rang a bell once you watched it,
Matt? Yeah, I believe this is the case. What you're saying is true. It was not the most recent wrestling club, but the prior one. I don't know what number, I've lost track. We got over 10, I think, and the Roman numerals weren't helping keep track of it.
Hey, if wrestling has... like says anything, the law of wrestling is you have to go by Roman numerals, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I think it was Wrestling Club 14, I want to say, but this was, I remember it because this was on the Starrcade 91 in Tokyo Dome show, and there was a bunch of great campy video that I was able to find of the wrestlers and catering and
that's
and
right.
stuff. Yeah, yep. That while the match was great, that was maybe equally great. But
man. If I recall correctly, when you went around the end of the wrestling club and asked our favorite parts, I think I cited the catering behind the scenes footage.
So good. Yeah, dude, so I thought it'd be quite timely to have you on the show for this one. So before we get into what I believe is Match of the Week number 106, which is pretty nuts, I thought I would I want to thank you again for coming down to Melbourne, man, and getting to hang out and getting to do the Oddities Expo together. It makes such a difference, you know, having someone there to keep you company on these big old expo days. But what was it like for you? What did you think of the experience?
Yeah, it was great. My, you know, the only thing was that, you know, I wish I had come down earlier so I could have spent the whole weekend there. But, you know, I got a good taste. I was there the majority of the Sunday with you. And yeah, it was just a good time by all. You know, you said it yourself a couple of times as you were chatting with, you know, people that were coming to check out your art, that just brings out such a great community. And, you know, the Curiosities and Oddities Expo might not necessarily be for everyone's tastes, but everyone is welcome. And I think that's the great thing. You know, I think anyone that walks through the doors could find something that, you know, maybe not that necessarily that they would like so much that they would buy it and take it home, but that they could look at and appreciate and be in awe at. You know, there was mounted giraffe heads, taxidermied giraffe heads. That's the first time I've seen a giraffe. And it's just some crazy stuff that you can't really see or find anywhere else any time of year. So weird and wonderful.
Those, like, chopped in half taxidermied rats or whatever they
had. Frankenstein's together, two rats mounted on a little love heart base. Oh, look, like I said, not for everyone, but there is something for everyone. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. For anyone that hasn't heard of it or hasn't been, I would recommend checking it out whenever it comes to a town near you.
Yeah, they do a really good job of sort of putting together a unique kind of like collection of oddities, I guess. And yeah, I think you're right. Like the community element, I think, is one of the coolest bits. Because, I mean, I guess like you were there for so many of the conversations that I had, you know, throughout the days. And the cool thing was like you'd have like some you know, conversations that were a little bit similar, but then others that are just like, you know, so many different kind of interactions with different kind of people. It's like the eclecticness of it, I think, is really interesting and really unique compared to some of the other expos and markets that I do.
Yeah, for sure. There were some real freaks there, to put it mildly. but
we say in a lovely
again,
way.
You know, of course, you know, I mean, Freaks and Geeks, one of my favorite shows. And I think that that is kind of sums up the crowd, because you've got, you know, these outcasts and these misfits and these goths and you know, people that don't fit into regular society, that are a part of these alternative scenes and subgenres and all this stuff. You know, so there's a lot of different people there, but they all get along and everyone's so friendly and just so welcoming. You know, there wasn't one scuffle or bad word exchange that I observed. Everyone's just there for a good time and they're doing their own thing, and it's great. You know, like, for, I think, yeah, this group of people that get a bad rap or get looked down upon, they actually conduct themselves in a much better way than, you know, the norms. So yeah, I think, you know, anyone that goes along will have a good time. And it was a fun environment to be in, for sure.
So good. It's like, it's nice for me to get to sort of like talk, you know, about my art in those sort of like different kind of conversations and stuff as well. But I really like this one, because we sort of, you get that, but then you get like really varied, interesting kind of conversations as well. And I feel like you like really elevated that, you know, for like, you know, chiming in with some different stuff or like picking up on like different things that were going on. So made for a really good time, dude.
Well, I'm glad that I wasn't a burden or can't think of another term, but yeah, I'm glad you appreciated my presence and that you felt it elevated the conversations rather than detracted. Because I've been known to say some silly and divisive things. But I wanted to actually ask you, what do you think, what category do you fit into best as Chris Things Art? Are you a curiosity or are you an oddity?
I feel in some ways both. I do sometimes be like, man, if this like scene, like what is it that you know makes them, you know, say, yeah, you can come along and be part of this about my art. But yeah, I think it is like, it's the general freak show energy, you know, like trying to lean into, like, of course, yeah, I do like wrestling art, but like it's the more obscure, freaky kind of like matches that I think I connect with the most, or ones that are like unique or a bit weird or that kind of thing. And that's generally the kind of thing, you know, I try to play at like a wrestling club kind of nights. But then also, you know, like with my art, I try to, you know, do a lot of the stuff with like the spaghetti western things, or the you know, skeletons and aliens and all that kind of general weird oddity kind of vibe. So I don't know, man. In terms of a response to your actual question, I'm not sure.
Well, I appreciate the insight into your art, because I hadn't picked up on any of that from looking at it and coming to the wrestling clubs. I would have thought you're a very straight-laced man.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. Straighty 180 over here. There were two things that I wanted to make mention of here before we get to the match of the week relating to the Oddities Expo. I wanted to thank you for you took some photos throughout the weekend. I was going through this photo roll with Kaylin yesterday, and dang, dude, you did such a good job. I have to like share these pictures with people. I don't know,
please.
Maybe like an Instagram post or something. That'd probably be best. But man, it really sort of like told the story, both in terms of like the posed photo. There's this one that we took at the end of the first day, where I think my soul had just left my body from how tired I was at that point. I had this like look on my face where I was just trying to have like a excited like face, but I just kind of looked like so listless and psychotic. But then, yeah, so many great like photos throughout the day. So thanks so much for that, man.
My pleasure. I think, you know, you're out there all the time doing these events, these expos, these wrestling clubs, and, you know, it's going to, people in the future are going to want to know how this began. So it's important that we document some of this. So, you know, and you've got to be able to share it with your fan base. So, yeah, throw those photos out there for the masses to see what they missed out on, and you can be a part of it next time.
Yeah, man, and excellent eye for like the compositions of some of these as well. I like really noticed like, when I was looking at them, like there's attention to detail going on here with the framing, with the focus. Like you went a bit further than you know, people just taking a few happy snaps might go. So I noticed.
I try. Glad you like them, buddy.
Thing, oh, dude, totally so good. Kaylin was very impressed as well. She was like, man, he's putting me to bloody shame as a girlfriend. He's doing such a better job than I do when it comes to these events.
Well, I wasn't looking to replace you know, I wasn't looking to be the new girlfriend, but you know, we'll see what happens.
The other thing I needed to mention, because I do not want to let this be lost to the ethers of time, but how great was that interaction with the alien lady? I just really thought we had to commemorate that.
She had, you know, an interesting viewpoint, which was that she doesn't think aliens exist, and that's fine. I guess there's plenty of people.
Which, as to start with, doesn't seem like that much of a hot take.
No.
I mean, personally, I think that's a bit of a hot take, but, you know, it gets
deeper. Well, that's right, because, I mean, you know, I think most people are very open to the idea that some other form of life exists within the universe, just given the size of it. So the fact that she's like, no, they're not out there, I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's fine. Like, mathematically and scientifically, it seems very, very probable. But she had a different method to arrive at her theory, which was what was she doing? She was trying to feel energy, I guess, of other beings. Is that right?
Yeah,
or frequencies?
Yeah, I believe it was, so. And that was the reason why she didn't think they were out there, because she couldn't feel the energy of the aliens.
She wasn't getting their frequencies. To which then you asked a very poignant question. Well, what sort of range do you think you have on your detection? Because they're probably a little bit outside that scope, to be honest. So who knows?
Logically, you know, I'm just like, you know, maybe it just goes a certain bounds, and I know they're ways away, so that could be it. Anyway, thought that was great. The lady was actually lovely. But yeah, it's those kind of unique interactions that I really live for.
Yeah, if she's listening, they're out there. Believe.
Definitely.
Tune into a different frequency.
You just adjust that little knob a little bit, I guess.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Before we run out of time, we have a match to discuss.
This one,
a match that I played at Wrestling Club 14, I believe. Match that very close and dear to my heart. Match of the week number 106. This was Hiroshi Hase and Kensuke Sasaki, the reigning IWGP Tag Team Champions, defending their championships against the Steiner Brothers, Rick and Scott Steiner. This is actually the Steiner Brothers' debut in Japan. Took place, as far as I'm aware at least, took place at the big New Japan Pro Wrestling WCW collaboration event. The Starrcade 1991 at Tokyo Dome on March 21st, 1991. This match, man, I think it went down well at the wrestling club night, but then the more I watch it, the more things there are to appreciate about it. I obviously adore this thing. I had it as my match of the week, of course. I made the art of it, but dude, this thing is just great. Like, where were you at on it?
Yeah, it's just a solid match. I mean, you know, the Tokyo Dome, you've just got the crowd engagement is unreal. The pacing was good. There was quick tags. And then just this variety of just solid old school wrestling moves. It just kind of almost reminded me a bit of, you know, like, because that's around the early 90s when I started watching. But, you know, I was watching WWF and, you know, they were doing similar stuff.
Do you have any recollections of the Steiners in WWF from that time? Because they did have a little like,
year no.
Where they were in WWF.
I mean, I've always been aware of them. You know, I'm sure I probably caught some of their stuff. But I think, you know, when the memories actually started solidifying was, the more into the Attitude Era. So I think they might have departed by then, perhaps. But, yeah, just, you know, like I said, this variety of solid wrestling moves. You had there was a tilt-a-whirl slam in there, a running power slam, a couple of, you know, decent DDTs. There's a great German suplex from Rick. It's just,
just launched him.
Yeah.
So many great, like, suplexes in general throughout this match. Like, you can just name them and you just get such a variety. Everyone, like, between both the Steiner brothers and, of course, like, Hiroshi Hase, just... All three of those dudes are just like wrestling suplexing machines. And then you have old Kensuke out here who brings the power with those sick power slams. Two amazing power slams that he does during this one, I believe. But yeah, it all just comes together really well. The crowd energy is so there. They're really wanting to support their boys, Hase and Sasaki. But then they're just like in awe of like, because this, I guess, is their first time seeing the Steiner brothers, and they're just like, what the heck are these freaks? So it just jumps on so many levels.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was their debut, but I immediately thought that, you know, as they were getting their ring introductions and just like even the difference in the physique, you know, you've got these American dudes there with their, not sparkly, but their colorful ring attire and their bulging muscles.
So great.
And I imagine it would have been a real attraction for the crowd. But going back to those suplexes, I do want to call out the belly to belly got featured in this match a bit, and I loved it because you did not see enough belly to belly suplexes anymore.
100%.
We got a nice one from Scott, and then almost immediately after, an overhead one off the middle turnbuckle from Rick.
Yeah,
but then Hase busts out one of his own overheads, which was incredible.
Oh, so great, so, and he like gets him up. He just like gets him up, like
yeets him.
So much pop, like there's no way he's not like getting him over. That's such a great overhead belly to belly and full technique, because obviously, like, you know, Hase quite a bit smaller in stature, but dude, he could throw a great suplex.
Pop those hips.
Yeah, man. And he's I'm not sure if you're familiar, but like his Uranage suplexes, sort of like a spinning rock bottom. He broke out two of those towards the end, and just beautiful things.
Yeah, that was I think that was leading into the hot tag. He put down the Steiner brothers to escape, but yeah, well executed. It's good to see Urinage. Another one you don't see a great deal of, I feel.
I mean, it's one of the ones where you have to be really good to do it well. So I feel like, I mean, Hase was like an Olympic, like, cred wrestler. So I guess he, like, brought that, like, real
makes sense.
Wrestling element to it.
Yeah.
That's why he's so great. He's
yeah.
like a politician now.
Oh, wow. Man of many talents.
Yeah, indeed. Beautiful moustache as well. And shout out to just the wonderful celebration of mullets that is the Smash, right?
Yeah.
I did notice. You know, we were into the 90s, but I guess they still hadn't transitioned to the haircuts yet.
Hey, that like early 90s period, I feel, there was like a bit of support for the mullets. I had a little bit of a shaggy mullet going on in primary school around that era from memory.
Like is that right?
Gelled up, spiky front bit, like party in the back.
At age 5.
I mean, mine was probably more like that 94, 95 kind of period, I guess.
Right.
Maybe 96, you know, when, like, because that's when, like, Sean and, like, Diesel and Razor, all those guys were rocking the mullet still, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, they had a version of it. For sure. I think they were just sort of slicking back the sides a bit. They're sort of, I don't know. I'm not the expert. but I'll need to see a photo of this young Chris with a mullet for sure.
I'll see if
I can get that up on the gram.
It officially got so radical that the school made me cut it. It was too much, apparently.
Wow. Officially too radical. What a rebel.
But this match as well, I wanted to make mention for the wrestling club variation. I included the entrances. That was cut out of the version that I sent you here today. But I remember for the version I played at wrestling club, I had to merge two versions of footage of this match.
This
Japanese cut only starts, you know, with the entrances cut out. All the time, the VHS, they don't have the licensing for the music,
right?
But so I took the American WCW pay-per-view version of it that I think was released on VHS in America that included the entrances, and then I like mashed it up with this Japanese version because the Japanese version actually has the match in full and in higher quality. But the problem was for the WCW pay-per-view version, they did this like shitty dub over for Kensuke and Hase's entrance theme because I guess they were like, all right, we just need more generic oriental vibes to this, so we just had like the most like stereotypical like Japanese dub over that in no way captured the energy of Hase's actual beautiful theme music. So I had to actually then like dub in his proper theme over the top of it. And this is one of those things where I feel like no one notices but me, but I'm like, needs to be done, you know? So that was a key element for the wrestling club airing of this.
And we appreciate it. I mean, you're right. No one noticed, but I think that is just a testament to your editing skills. But I love that. Yeah, you went that extra mile. And I do recall you mentioning that to me on the night. And yeah, what great lengths you'll go to present, you know, the wrestling match, making us feel like we were actually there on the night. Incredible stuff. Again, anyone listening that hasn't made it along to Wrestling Club, this is the kind of high caliber material that you can expect from Chris Thinks.
I try. I really enjoy getting to do those wrestling clubs. And we do have our next one announced coming up on the 15th of December, our final one of the year. So anyone wants to get along in the Brisbane area, that's how we'll be closing out the year at the Scratch, little wrestling club Christmas party energy, perhaps.
Hell yeah.
I think finishing up here, I did want to mention the illustration in question. The big moment that I went with was that wonderful Northern Lights suplex that Haase hits on Rick Steiner. Just such a thing of beauty. Again, shout out to the beautiful suplexes of this match. But and the other thing that really stood out to me in this match and in this moment too, such a focus on tag team wrestling. Like you had this sort of like guarding to prevent like the breaking up of the pin. Going on where Kensuke is like staunching Scotty on the side to make sure he doesn't break up the pin. But such great tag team wrestling throughout this entire match. But yeah, for whatever reason, that was the moment itself that spoke to me.
That's fair enough. I mean, the bridge was a thing of beauty. But yeah, to your point, I think again, you know, just early 90s, you know, I love the spectacle of something like, I don't know if you saw that clip I sent you recently of Ricochet and Ospreay. Just putting on this ridiculous performance, you know, like it's just watching a video game of these guys flipping and it's choreographed and it's beautiful. But, you know, I mean, I don't think you invited me on the show to get in the semantics of defining pro wrestling versus sports entertainment, but that's very entertaining. But this match that we're talking about, that's pro wrestling. And, you know, I was thinking how great a job the ref was doing. And then it dawned on me that, you know, it's actually the performers that are making the ref look good by actually, you know, abiding by the rules and not just ignoring, you know, the five count and all that sort of thing. So I think everyone came together to put on a really great match and a believable one that, yeah, really felt organic and there wasn't really any silly nonsense. I do want to call out there was a perfect double underhook Liger bomb, I guess, sit out power bomb from Scott.
Oh yeah, so great.
Center of the ring. I loved that. I thought that might have been the moment. And then I loved the Doomsday Bulldog. Do they call that? Is that
such a great finish? Yeah, yeah, that was their like classic like finishing maneuver. So great. That moment as well. Like I actually used that in a previous artwork. Like this one that I did with like these sort of like bulldog like I think I did them as bulldogs. It was like meant to be for a mongrel art show back in the day, or it actually was part of it. But yeah, it's got the Steiners as like dogs doing the top rope bulldog double finish. So it's such a good sick move.
Yeah, I love any time someone's in the electric chair position. It's so exciting, you know. And then, of course, you know, we get the Frankensteiner right at the end. So it had it all.
Yeah, man. Just rock 'em, sock 'em robots. Just like all action, lots of big suplexes, big personalities, and just like a great, like, fast paced energy to it. Like, this is such sick tag team wrestling. I heard a quote from Alex Shelley of the Motor City Machine Guns, where when talking about tag team wrestling, he's like, it's a gimmick, you know, the same way you have a ladder match, it's a gimmick, a cage match is a gimmick, and in any of those matches, you need to, like, work the gimmick, and the gimmick of a tag match is that you get to use your, you know, partner for double team moves, you get to have quick tags, you get to, like, embrace the unique things that you get to do as it being a tag match, and because that was, like, kind of front of mind when I was rewatching this, it really stood out to me how great a job they did that in this match particularly, like, even little things like, there's a bit where I think it might have been Scotty, but he's like holding him in like an ankle lock during the tag to make sure he doesn't get to the opponent, get to tag out like when he's tagging in Rick. Just those little attention to detail things I think are so great. But yeah, this rock. It's one of those matches where I'm just like somebody who doesn't even really know that much about wrestling. Just like, watch this man. Because how great is wrestling?
Amen, brother.
Well, I think that brings us to about the end of our time here. I know you gotta get off to work, my dude, but thanks so much for coming on and us getting to chat it up outside of the lightning round limitations that we had last time.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, dude. I look forward to seeing you soon, but have a good one, and I'll hopefully catch you at that next wrestling club.
See you then.
All right, what a lovely chat was had with Signor Fazio. I think he did great, man. Excellent breakdown there of a match that I really love. Hope everyone out there watches it, or at least this could sort of like bring back some of those memories if you know had watched it back in the day. So good. I just want to say a big old thank you to everyone out there who's been listening to that this podcast, listen to my rambling nonsense for any length of time. Please know that it's appreciated. There's still a bit of me where, you know, sometimes people reach out to me and they say nice things about the podcast, and I'm like, what? You actually listen to that thing? I'm just, like, shocked. but no, it's very nice. I treat it, you know, like I say often, you guys are my pals, and I speak to you as such. Sometimes I probably, you know, give useless information that no one needs to know, but it's because you know, we're just chums chatting it up. Anyway, if you ever want to you know, recommend the podcast to anyone else out there who might be into such an extremely niche topic as wrestling art, or this kind of like retro classic kind of like wrestling nerddom, please do. It's always helped to try to, you know, spread the word about these things. Wrestling art with Chris things. Available at all the places. If you ever feel like leaving a review on the different platforms, on the iTunes or anything like that, you can do so. That is appreciated too. And you also can I believe, they tell me, you can leave donations. So if you ever feel like shouting me a coffee, I have a ridiculous caffeine habit to fuel, so that's appreciated too. but thanks, guys. I hope you're having a fun week as well here. I would like to also say a big old thank you to the great team at Social Suplex, socialsuplex.com, the home to this podcast, as well as a variety of other fun wrestling podcasts, from One Nation Radio to Keeping It Strong Style, the New Japan podcast of the network. We got Imps WW Adventure. We got All Things Elite. We have the Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk. All the things going on at Social Suplex. The greater guys that have allowed me to continue doing this rambling mess of a podcast for 95 episodes now. My gosh. Lastly, big thank you again to everyone that's been purchasing those 2026 calendars. Makes me very fun when I, you know, put together something like this, that there are people that want to get such things into their life, into their home, accompanying their life for all of 2026. I had a whole bunch of them that I was happy to sell at the expo this past weekend, but it's the Chris Things 2026 calendar, Los Luchadores versus Alien Invaders. Very fun thing for me to put those together and, you know, get to put it out into the world. So thank you for everyone who has supported that. Those remain available on christhings.com.au. And hopefully I'll be able to get some other new fresh stuff up there in the near future. But I think that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Again, didn't want to have too much of a long one, so considering we've had some extra girthy podcasts recently. Highly recommend, if anyone hasn't already, check out last week's podcast with Yeah Dude Comics. Man, that chat with Pat, it was so much fun. And I do, I had a little bit of a chat with him. We are planning on at some point in the future putting together a little bit of an online workshop kind of a thing, where we can learn how to put together wrestling comics from a dude who does it in such an awesome way. So that's something I'm very excited to be teeing up in the next little while. So stay tuned for details on that. But yeah, man, I'm having fun. I hope you guys have a lovely week. Until I speak to you next time. If anyone wants to come along to the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in Brisbane this weekend, I'd love to see you there. But everyone else in the podcast universe, I hope you, hope you have fun with the things that you're doing, and I'll catch you next week. See you later. This has been Wrestling Art with Things. Enjoy.